You're listening to Greatness Adjacent with Jenny Lind and Mandana Sisco. If it's your first time here, welcome. If you've been with us before, get cozy. Today, Seth Santoro came and spoke to me. I could have gone on with this interview or this chat for 5 more hours. I wish I could have. He may have to come back. Seth went to college with me. We were both at Sarah Lawrence. He was in HR for 20 years. But for the past 6, he is a psychic, a medium, and an intuitive. And he tells me in this podcast that psychic and intuitive is pretty much the same thing. So he can communicate with the dead. He can tap into people's energies, also into animal energy. He can communicate telepathically with animals. He has an intuitive business coaching business, as well as psychic readings. And his story is riveting. I couldn't get enough of it. So I hope you enjoy Seth Santoro. Hello, Seth Santoro.
Hello, Jenny Lind.
So many things I love about your name. A, the alliteration. Yeah, I love an Italian person.
Oh, yeah.
It is Italian?
It is Italian.
Okay. Seth Santoro, you have one of the most interesting stories, and I have so many questions about it. I don't know as much as I need to know, but okay. The general broad strokes of it. Guys, he is a medium. He is a psychic. He is an intuitive. And you have a business around this now. You are an intuitive business coach. You also do psychic readings and mediumship. Is that what I would call it? Mediumship readings. Yeah. You are also a gorgeous gay man. And you just told me you were married, which I didn't know.
I just got married.
When?
Like December 1st of last year.
Congratulations. It's almost your year anniversary.
I know. I have to figure out what to do.
Yeah, you do.
But we just got back from South Africa where we flew first class. So I'm like, is that not enough?
Yeah. South Africa was one of my favorite places I've ever visited. We can talk. It's the most amazing. But there's a lot to cover with you. So I knew you very peripherally from Sarah Lawrence, where I went to college. Yes.
And you Instead of Juilliard,
where I was rejected. Yeah, we talked about that on another episode. I could have gone to other drama schools.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
But I chose Sarah Lawrence. I wasn't rejected from every place, just to be clear. But I knew you from Sarah Lawrence, and you were and are very good friends with one of my very good friends, Ciara Warner. But we did meet in college, right?
Yeah.
That's what I thought. When Ciara and I lived in the same dorm.
It was your senior year, I think, right?
Our senior year, you were a freshman?
Yeah, and I was like 16.
So how did you get to college at 16? Where did you grow up?
I grew up all around New England. So New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Connecticut, everywhere. I actually tell people I was born in Boston, grew up in New York, and then became an adult in LA. So I just kind of manipulated the system, the educational system in New Hampshire. I moved and half my classes were in 10th grade, half were 9th. And then from there, when I went to 10th grade, half were 11th, whatever. And then from there, I was like, I want to graduate early because I want to be an actor.
Is that what you wanted to do?
That's what I know. I know that's what I wanted to do. Well, I wanted to affect people and their lives in a mass way. And now I know where that is and why that is. But at that point, I was like, well, the only way I can do that is be an actor or a lawyer. But I'm like, yeah, no. Not
and
my skill set.
They are similar in some ways. So, but also part of manipulating the system is you are obviously very intelligent, because to get to college and to complete high school and go to college by the time you're 16 requires...
Yes, except I failed my SATs. Like, let's be very honest about this.
Yeah, but those tests, I don't feel like they mean much. They're just standardized tests are so lame. There really needs to be a new bar. Okay, I mean, great if you're good at math and you take tests well, cool.
Yeah, like perfect in math. But it was the English that I was like, wait, what? I actually scored higher in French than I did in English. So clearly there's a problem with that, right?
So, Sarah Lawrence, you wanted to be an actor. Then you came to LA and I read on your website and I knew about you from seeing you sometimes at Ciara's that you were in corporate America in HR specifically for 20 years. Were you like the head of HR?
Yeah, I was for Spin Master. Paw Patrol, obviously, you know, Paw Patrol, you have children. So that was the company that I was the head of HR for in the United States and Mexico. And so I've been a head of HR at a couple companies. So I much prefer consultants. So now I consider myself an HR advisor.
So with your work now, you still...
I still do dip that.
So you know all about it. That's so helpful.
Yeah, oh my God, yeah. Any HR question.
I have a weird tangent.
Okay.
HR. So... I strangely know a couple people who are heads of HR at big companies, and I have said to them, how do you do your job? Because
a lot of HR must be people just coming to complain about things that seem, I would eye roll. I would get so annoyed at people. And they both said to me, honestly, they were like, well, no, it's true. They're like, a lot of day, people are coming and you have to take seriously what they're saying. But inside, they are like eye rolling and like, this is absurd.
I'm a therapist as well. I mean, because of all the HR work. Yes. No, seriously, like people, I just commented to someone yesterday, you know, you sit in your office and you have meetings, but then you never get any work done because people are constantly coming in. I mean, it's a revolving door and it has to be.
When did you realize that you were psychic? So you wanted to be an actor, then you're in HR and you're head of a big company's HR department.
Yeah, it happened about that time. I would say about 6 years ago. In my 20s, like, so after I left Sarah Lawrence, I had five people pass away in my life that were pretty close to me. And I saw The Sixth Sense and I had goosebumps the entire time. And I was like, oh my God, you know? And I was like, I want that to be my life. And I think I've said that probably 400 times or maybe 5,000 times in my life, right? So in my early 20s, when those people passing away, I just felt like they were around me. And I thought that was normal that we talk to people that have passed around us. I really thought that was normal. It wasn't normal. Like, you don't talk to people who've passed generally. So it took me 10 more years. So when I was like 30,
so
in my 30s.
So you would talk to them.
I spoke to them like a couple times and they responded.
Hello.
Like I was
Could
literally walking
them?
Down the street. No,
okay.
No, my husband can see them, which is
what?
Aggravating.
He has these gifts too?
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's how we met. He's a medium too.
Double trouble.
Double. It's amazing.
Double
yeah.
goodness.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, go on.
Everyone wants to make a TV show, which actually we can talk about that. Yeah. South Africa wants to do one first. Anyway, so in my 30s, I literally broke up with someone and I turned over and I said, I deserve better.
I remember this breakup. Did you guys have a farm?
We did. Were you? I think you.
No.
Oh, you didn't see my goats or chickens?
No.
Okay, so we had goats and chickens.
Your house was like the place to go.
Yeah, I had chickens sitting on me. So it was that guy. Very good memory. So it was the second time within about 3 or 4 years that I broke up with someone and I said, I deserve better. And at that moment, literally the next day, I tell people that the world opened up to me because I couldn't stop feeling things. So we'd be sitting in a conversation or we'd be sitting, well, I know you, but we'd be sitting with someone else. And all of a sudden I would just start getting information like 10, woman, mother, all stuff. And then she'd mention, oh, my mother passed 10 years ago. And I was like, oh. And then all these images would flood in. So I couldn't help myself at that mm-hmm. point, right? I mean, it's a lot better now and I'm more, I don't like to say the word control, but I manage it a lot better now. But it took me about 9 months, interestingly, to kind of come out to myself. And then I had to come out to everyone else around me. And I have Christian friends and it's funny because I told my parents and they had an easier time with the gay thing than they did with this.
Really?
Yeah. Love you, mom and dad. I'm very appreciative. They've been the most amazing people in the world. Yeah. And I'm so grateful for everything they gave me, but it's just interesting. My mom was like, the Long Island medium can do it, but I don't believe that you can do it.
It's really fascinating what people, it's kind of like, we have a family friend and when he was little, he was like, yeah, I mean, obviously Santa's real, but Easter Bunny is not. Like, it was like, there was like two things, like the, one of them is clearly, yeah, this is for, no.
So yeah, so it started happening and then it took me about a year and a half to even start doing readings for people.
So for the first year and a half, you were just letting all the information come into you and you were open to it. And you would, I don't mean this flippantly, it's almost like a party trick. Like, hey, this is what I'm seeing.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Then you were able to be more disciplined about it.
Yeah. And then I started studying and practicing and then doing more readings and it became more of, I can turn it on and off, which I say that. I was thinking about that this morning. And I was like, yeah, but then there are some times that I'm sitting and I do these things called drive-by readings. My heart. So we were sitting at dinner with someone, right? I'll give you an actual example.
You were at dinner with the person or you were just next to them?
No, well, So I was sitting with like this guy that I was out with on Valentine's Day and there was a woman sitting next to us and she was pregnant. I can also do what I would call prenatal readings. So I do baby readings, which are so much fun.
Wow.
So fun. I know.
I wish I had done that with you.
Yeah. Oh, it's so fun. And you said you're done. So
done.
Well, you never know.
Never know.
So we're out to eat. And all of a sudden I started feeling the name Mary. And I knew the baby was, let's say, I knew it in weeks, you know, like 34 weeks or 35 weeks or something. And I started getting that the father was kind of absent. And I got like 5 or 6 pieces of information. Now, when this happens, my heart starts palpitating because I don't like to go up to people.
I can be like, hey.
Yeah, no. And I've done it probably about 50 times. And 49 of the 50 people are receptive. But that one time kind of scarred me for a while. And I knew it was, I was like, I know it's your brother. But okay. So we're sitting there anyway, long story short. I just say, hey, listen, I don't mean to be rude or intrusive, but I'm getting a lot of feelings about your baby. And she's like, oh, and I was like, I'm a medium, blah, blah. And then of course there are people at the table that are like, people are like, oh my God, I love that stuff. And then the other one's like, oh my God, I don't believe in that stuff, you know? And they were Brits who I think really invented mediumship, but we can talk about that later.
I bet they did.
I think they did. So yeah. I started talking to her and luckily I didn't say everything because sometimes I can discern pretty fast because I thought she was married. And then I just felt like the husband was there. And so I told her a couple pieces of information and I was like, who's Mary? She's like, I'm Mary. And I was like, oh. And it's like, eh, you could have overheard us say that. And, you know, and that's what you normally get. Yeah. But things like that happen all the time. But until I say something, it's hard for me to focus on anything else. Anyway, so I say that most of the time I can manage it. But sometimes it's just, I need to say it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people need to hear it. And tattoos are very interesting. And if they're ever in honor of someone, I know immediately who it's in honor of. So when I see tattoos, it's like, I'm like, oh, your mother, right? And people are like, how would you know that?
That's so cool. So a year and a half into discovering your gifts or being open to allowing your gifts to come in, you started to do readings.
Yeah, like paid readings. Like
paid, yes, as a business.
Yeah.
Exciting.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people have mixed feelings about it, but it's a gift and it doesn't take a lot out of me. But I'm giving you my time, right? So you're really just paying for
it
my time.
It absolutely should be. I think if you have a gift and people want this, I don't think that's weird. I think that's normal. So you started doing psychic readings or medium readings?
I started doing mediumship readings. I didn't even know I was a psychic. Okay. Apparently someone explained to me this way, like all mediums are psychics, but not all psychics are mediums. So psychic is essentially tapping into, if you think about it, this is my opinion, your energies, right? So sometimes those energies include dead people or deceased loved ones, I like to say. But sometimes it's not. So I didn't even know I could do the psychic stuff until much later, like 3 or 4 years into my studying. But it's the intuitive / psychic stuff that
What's
really,
the difference between psychic and intuitive?
I don't think there is in my mind. I like the word intuitive more. It's totally a preferential word.
Okay.
I think psychic has become too mainstream. And, you know, on every street, there's a psychic. Like, no, I think of intuitive because it's also about you and your life and what you're going through and your past, present, and future. Now I prefer intuitive readings. I mean, I love mediumship readings as well, but there's something about how I can shift people in an intuitive reading.
So when you're reading somebody in a psychic reading, you'll download their energies and whatever will come to you. Mm-hmm. And then you'll be able to discuss what patterns with them or what you see.
I always tell people it's about your not so distant past, your present, and your not so distant future, right? Mm-hmm. So when someone comes to me and sits in front of me, I always ask them what they want. Usually they'll say intuitive or they'll say both. That's fine too. So I just kind of pull in their deceased loved ones, which is again, a gift right on top of that. And then we communicate with animals too, which we haven't mentioned yet, but I can communicate with live and dead animals. We can talk about that later. I have a really good story from South Africa on that. So they sit down and I just, start talking to them. And I usually focus or hone in on exactly what they need to hear right now.
So when you say it, it is like crystallized.
How would you know that? Yeah. Wow. Like I'm always like, so what would you like to start with? And then I'm like romance, work, career. Those are the big like crowd pleasers. And then they're like, I want to start with finance. And then we'll start finance, but then we'll go exactly where we need to go. And I don't just tell them, oh, you're getting a new job. No, it's like, there's this person at work who aggravates the hell out of you. And it's a he. And there's problems going on in his life and he's taking on you. Like, it's things like that. And what's cool is that it goes from superficial to like super kind of deep, if you will. Yeah. That's why I call it intuitive coaching. And that's why I've combined everything.
Yes. So you do intuitive business coaching. So a business person, I have a company and I have 30 employees and I come to you. What can you do for my company?
So the fun part about it is that because of my corporate America experience, I have a lot in strategy, operations, HR, all that stuff, right?
You know all the right things and what the goals are. It's such a good match.
I think so too. Yeah. So essentially, I help my clients with all of their HR stuff like that. But really what people need is to build better legacies and futures for themselves, right? So I have all these coin phrases, but it's about reframing their minds about the past because everyone's somehow it lets their past influence their present and their future, right? So we deal with that.
You deal with that with the owner or with everyone
with the
in
owner,
the company?
With the owner, right. Then it's about what are you doing in the present right now? Because we always talk about what's happening now because obviously that's what's happening now. But it's also in a way to set up the future. So let's say I have a client who's about to be acquired, right? So he and I are going back and forth about like what that looks like, what he wants it to look like in 5 years, 10 years from now, what he's going to do with his employees. So, and then also what I feel about it. And sometimes he'll be like, hey, I have this new project that I'm working on. How do you feel about it? And I just tell him. And there's some things I'm not supposed to know, and there's supposed to be some things they're not supposed to know, and I won't get that information.
Oh, if they're not supposed to know it, you won't get that information.
Right. So they'll ask me, and I'll be like, I don't see anything. Yeah, so it's pretty amazing work.
It's amazing work. It sounds also, when people really find their calling, I love these stories. It's so good.
Yeah.
And I love that it came out of a breakup and out of a time where you were probably very sad. And look at you now. I want to talk about, because you have on your website, so people who are in deep grief about a loved one dying or a pet dying, which is the same, do you still do those? Because I think that being able to hold space for people that are in deep grief, I am so afraid of it. Like, even when my husband is in like a terrible, awful, like funk, bad mood, I don't like it. It makes me extremely uncomfortable. And that's a problem with me, right? So he comes home, we could, but he comes home and I'm like, oh my God, like you can have an hour of this and then
we gotta move on.
Like I just, you know, so obviously I'm very flawed there. So I think, but then when you see people going through real things, like the death of, we have a very dear friend in our friend community. Mm-hmm. He died in May, so young, 42 years old, his wife, his spouse, his son. Grief is so devastating, and grief is messy. We need people like that, the people who can sit with people who are grieving and also people who are dying, because that's another thing, the people who are like hospice workers. Yeah. Oh, my God.
I love death. I know it's weird, but I love everything to do with death and
because
grief
it doesn't
and loss.
Scare you.
No. I used to, it's interesting because when I was 12, I remember having like a slew of nightmares where, I don't know if anyone else has done this, but it's like the Black Death and oh my God, you die and there's nothing left, blah, blah. So now I have a much different opinion of it, but I know what it's like to have that fear. I've had cancer. I've survived a lot of things in my life.
You had cancer?
Yeah.
What kind?
Yeah, I was skin cancer. It was like the aggressive kind, not like the,
melanoma.
Yeah, like superficial spreading malignant melanoma.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that all gone?
Yeah.
Did you have to go through chemo?
No, I'm very lucky. I call it I had cancer light because I just had to have a lot of lymph nodes removed and some biopsies and all that stuff.
How old
and
were you?
27, 28. It makes you so much stronger as a human. It also puts things in perspective. Mm-hmm. Interestingly, last night I had dinner with someone who is actively dying and she knows this from cancer. This is her third round of cancer. And she told me last night, I'm willing 15 years. And I know it's an unfortunate gift, but I know when people are going to die. Like if you ask me or someone asks me.
Do when not
they're
tell
gonna,
me.
I'm not going to tell anyone. No. I ask them 5 times if they really want to know before I tell anyone. But I know when people are going to die. And I know, especially with people who are dying, right?
You know, especially with them?
Yeah. Because I know she doesn't have that many years left, right? But who am I to take that away from her? Because maybe she will it to happen. Yeah. So, but getting back to your point, I love just sitting with her and like letting her talk about things. But I can also talk to her about things that no one else can. Her husband, her kids. Like I can talk to her about, like, how do you feel about dying? Like I'm not scared.
I think people who do work like that, like you, who can sit with grief in its most sort of wild and visceral, raw, messy, and it's long. It takes a long time. So grief and dying, I think that we need more conversations about it, less fear about it. It was one of the reasons why I loved the movie Coco. Did you see Coco?
God. Oh my God, it's one of my favorites.
Yeah. That was great.
It's a celebration.
It is.
For sure.
It really is. And I asked you yesterday if you had heard of or had listened to the podcast that I did, Laura Lynn Jackson.
Yeah.
And she has a really great take on it about how life is just a school and we're here to learn lessons of love and connection. And that when we die, we're very much there. And it doesn't, I don't know, she doesn't say it's like a veil, but that's how I'm envisioning it.
Yeah.
And she says that the dead and your loved ones on the other side really do try to communicate with you all the time. Is that true? Do you believe, as you see that, believe that?
Yeah. And another thing about that too is people carry such guilt and shame and there's so much stuff. Like my next book is going to be something about like grace and death or something, but it's explaining how people carry on these feelings of like guilt and shame and just embarrassment because they went out to get a coffee and their mother died or they went here or they didn't say this to them. So people carry that with them. And I think it has major repercussions for those people from a healing perspective or a non-healing perspective. I've seen people heal in front of me from 20 years of like shame and guilt. And those are the cool moments. Like I get like right now, I'm like goosebumps everywhere.
Oh God, I could cry right now talking about all this. I could really burst into tears because when she talks about how she first started, because she talks about coming out of the closet as a psychic and as a medium. And I really liked that podcast because she's been tested, which I didn't even know they had. Yeah. First, she started working with a group called Forever Family that deals with families who've lost a child. When I hear people lose a child, I just go crazy. And then she was the Wimbridge Institute or something. Had you heard of that before?
Yeah, I know.
And they quintuple blind test. So it's impossible to know the answers, to cheat, and also to know that there's all sorts of people with these gifts out there. And one of the things that she says is that everybody is born with some psychic gifts. Everyone is. And that when people die, they are constantly, they want you to be your most vital, most
highest
happy
self.
Yeah. And she says that, oh my God, I'm crying. They could talk to you through animals, through metal. She's like, they love cell phones. People will get random, well, who's this picture from? It'll say no sender and stuff like that. She said those happen all the time.
And that's just proof to me. That's proof, right? That they're always there and always wanting the best for us. And the fun part is, you know, I don't know if you believe in spirit guides or angels.
Oh, my next question, okay. Spirit guides, go. You're on.
So one more thing. I want to say something about this psychic, that everyone is psychic. I'm actually creating a course for people who feel like they're psychic, but they want to get more psychic. I haven't figured out the name for it yet, but it's like one of those things where you have to deal with the past and the present. And then let's talk about listening and intuition and all that stuff. Okay, so back to spirit guides. So I believe that we have spirit guides and spirit family. So spirit guides, and this is my opinion, that, you know, I have a bunch of spirit guides that help me through every day, right? I have an intuitive, I even have a writer who helps me, right? Yeah, I have a chief who's saved my life before. So doing breathing exercises, I stop breathing. I have a total, everyone has a team. Uh-huh. Everyone has a team. You have a team. Everyone has a team. So we have this team, but then we have spirit family. So my grandmother, who I've never met on my mother's side, she is constantly with me, with me. And I know that she is part of my spirit family. So we have a team, but then we also have our family with us.
So spirit guides are not necessarily relatives. They are spirits in that realm that are your people. So I have a question. I don't know if you can answer. So you know when everybody's going to die, and I really don't want to know because I'm horrified that it's going to be in a week. Do you know when you're going to die?
I do.
You do?
Yeah.
And do you know how you're going to die?
No.
You don't?
I'm hoping that they come out with some, you pick an age and then you stay at that age for a while, because I would love to live forever. By the time, because I do think about that. I also know my parents, when they're going to die.
You don't tell them that, though.
No.
But you know. Do they ever ask you?
No. I've hinted to them that I know. Yeah, I don't want to say too much because they might listen to this, right? So, hi, Mom.
I believe in reincarnation. So how does it work? So the person is on the other side. A mother passes away. She's on the other side. She's there with you. She's guiding you. What about when your mom wants to reincarnate because she's ready for the next go around? Are they still there? How does that work?
Yeah, see, this is, again, my opinion, because everyone is going to have their own. No, I believe that it's the soul energy that always exists. So your soul energy will always be your mother, and your soul energy might reincarnate, but it's still a soul energy that's there.
So if your mother reincarnated as a boy on the other side of the world and is now a little baby living a life over there,
I can still contact with my mother because the energy, the soul energy is still there. That's what I believe.
Because you can, I guess, in the spirit realm, you can sort of divide.
Yeah. What's that? Oh my God. What's that movie with Scarlett Johansson where she eats some type of substance that then gives her all these powers, and then eventually she becomes the ether and everywhere? That's the closest thing I can describe to your question, which is it's everywhere, right? It's all around us. And even if they reincarnate, and a lot of people ask that question, but this is just my opinion, right?
No, but I really respect that, because it would make sense that you don't just have to be one in one place. And I think that the part that I love about it is that it's so much more optimistic. The world and the universe is so much more mysterious than anything we can really comprehend in the frontal lobe world that we all tend to live in to get through the day. It's comforting, and it's also what rings true to me.
And it's on purpose. Yeah. You know, I think there's a reason why we can't remember everything, or only some of us can, or whatever, you know?
Can you see what people's past lives were?
Yes, but it's not my specialty. Okay. My husband loves that stuff, but I'm...
Oh, yeah, we got to talk about that. So wait, we got to talk about hubby, because that's exciting. So that you can, but it's not your...
It's not my, thing. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I just want to touch again on bereavement and grief. So whether it's a loved person or a loved pet that has passed over, you can have sessions with people. And I think that's really great to know for anybody who may be interested in that, because it's happened to more and more people around me. I mean, whether you believe in it or not, if you think it's so woo-woo, try it.
I think bereavement sessions are not going to be medium all the time. No, it's going to be like raw. Let's talk about what you're doing, how you're feeling, what you're going through, where you are in the process, right? Because in the book that I just gave you, How I Learned to Smile from the Inside, it talks about like kind of steps of any type of loss that I believe, right? Then there's an acronym of SMILE, S-M-I-L-E, right? So you go through these processes and I feel like everyone is in one of the stages of the process. So I would take them more through the process. And if they want to do mediumship, it's cool. But I find that anyone under 3 months, if anyone's passed under 3 months, it's not generally a great idea. Ready. They're not ready. To your question yesterday, I've had a woman and her eight-year-old daughter because their husband died 6 weeks before. Oh, and I didn't know that. I thought it was 6 months because she told me 6 months, but it was 6 weeks. So they were both bawling. I mean, I can connect with him, of course. And people obviously want to talk to their pets right away and know they're okay. And I usually give little tidbits of that, you know, like they're walking, they're laughing, they're crying, blah, blah, blah. They're amazing. Anyway, so it's too soon sometimes for people. So I usually generally stay away from like 3 months or less. So that's why bereavement sessions would be more about their process.
Their process of going through the grief.
Right. And I'm also a certified coach. So like that's part of what I've learned.
How do you get certified?
There are schools registered with the International Coaching Federation.
You have been busy in the last 6 years. So from psychic readings to mediumship, coaching
HR. Yeah,
it's really. So I think that's really great to know. So people can come to you or book a session with you, go through your process that's in your book, which we should talk about, called How I Learned to Smile from the Inside. Yes. How I Learned to Smile from the Inside. And then after 6 months, if they would like to do a mediumship session with you, you can. And have you ever not been able to see the person?
No. I mean, when you say see, my husband sees, right?
Oh, yeah. We need to talk about hubs. Yeah. We're getting there.
No. I don't think maybe once, just to somewhat normal, but I connect.
Guys, if you've had a loved one that's maybe passed over 6 months ago, consider this. I would consider that as healing and as nurturing as therapy, church, meditation, to be able to.
Even more so?
Well, I would say more so, but I want to try to be fair.
No, of course. Yeah. Of course. Everyone has their place. And some people need therapy. I needed therapy. We all need therapy.
I scream, you scream, they all scream, cry, scream. So when people are screaming, crying, rolling on the floor, like those reactions, they don't scare you.
It's beautiful. I work with the American Widows Project.
What is that?
They're obviously for women who have lost their spouses, right? Due to veterans, right? So they are wives of they were active duty members. They got killed somehow, whatever. Oh. So I've worked with them a couple times and that room is pretty amazing. And it's like a 4 hour or 8 hour session. And we're just, I mean, with breaks, obviously, we go through the different steps and stages and process. So that's what I really mean by bereavement facilitator, you know, obviously either the one-on-one or the groups.
That's what great work.
I mean, and I can't help. I'm human as well. So I cry with everyone else. Oh my God, there are readings that I cry with the people. I mean, I don't like to be the crying medium, but but sometimes I get such an overwhelming feeling of emotion, of love, or of just happiness that I can't. We'll talk about it when we get to the South Africa.
Okay, yes. I want to talk to you about your husband in South Africa. I want to say before we go there, we talked about your book, which I can't wait to read. I hope everybody reads it. My husband worked with a life coach for a while, and he absolutely adores her. And she's amazing. And I'm not going to say her name because I haven't asked her permission, just in case she doesn't want to be out there with it. But she's incredible. And I wish I could go to a session with her, too. And she's great. But we became friendly just because we have the same sense of humor. So we have been out to dinner, oddly, just she and I, just as friends. Yeah. And I was talking to her and I didn't know. So she is also psychic. She's a life coach and whatever that means. Yeah. So she is psychic. And she told me that when she was younger, she also would like, you know, do like in that party trick mentality. Like, here's what I know. Here's what I'm seeing. Here's what I'm doing. And she was at a party and she recognized instantly. And she says, I can get inside people's, like inside their heads, inside their minds. And she went inside this woman's mind at this party. And the woman said telepathically in her head, get out, I'm one too. And she was like, oh. And so she's like, from that point forward, she was like, I don't ever do it now without asking permission. Mm. Do you have that too? Has that ever happened to you?
So apart from animals, which we'll talk about later on, because dogs are fun, cats can be crazy and not let you in, but
cat energy
is crazy, except for cheetah, which we'll talk about. But every animal can tell as soon as you're tapping into them. Every animal, right? People are different. I tend to ask always permission. Yeah, Sometimes I can't help it, though. And I'm just like, oh.
Laura Lynn Jackson talked about that, too. How she said sometimes she'll call it a bleed through and she just has to approach, has to say it.
Imagine being an HR or head of HR and having someone sit in front of you and then they're not telling you something. And you're like, I know what's going on with
you. So when you realized you were psychic, you were still working in HR. Oh, yeah. And so people would be telling you a story. And would you be like,
yes. And people would come to me and ask readings, but I would not. Because of conflict of interest.
Yeah, of course. That seems like they should know that.
But no. But I mean, there were times that people were like, can you please tell me how my dog's doing? He died like a couple weeks ago. Hold on. So of course I'd be like, okay, let's go into my office.
But if people were like, I'm mad at this person and they should get a slap on the wrist because this happened.
You have, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Accountability is so funny.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about your man. And then we got to talk about animals in South Africa. We have some time, but I just want to keep it going.
So it was amazing. He was born in a small town, 4 hours southeast of Johannesburg near Lesotho. He is South African, has an amazing accent. Oh my God. So we just were there for 3 weeks meeting his family. Anyway, so we met last May, right? Through mutual friends. So we met through mutual friends. I stalked him on Instagram for a couple of days. So he went to this psychic course, met two girls. They went to another psychic course where I was. They came up to me individually within 5 minutes of each other,
separately,
and said, you need to meet our friend Borman. So they came up to me, you have to meet our friend. So I was like, oh my God, and show me a picture. And being gay, everyone, every girl wants to hook you up with their best gay friend, right? So you look at the pictures and you're like, oh, you have to pick out something that's nice. And because I'm a very honest and authentic person, so you can see right through me when I'm lying. And I don't lie very often. But he was cute. He was really cute. And I was like, oh, he's cute. And then they said he's South African. I'm like, oh, he has an accent. I love accents.
Yeah,
and I knew I wouldn't end up with an American because I haven't really dated many Americans. Sorry, boys. So then I stalked him on Instagram for a couple of days. He finally started responding. I mean, I liked probably 15 pictures. It was
like,
kind of insane.
Hi,
yeah.
Hi.
Stupid. But he knew who I was and he finally responded and we started talking and then we started FaceTiming and we just built a friendship over 4 to 5 weeks. And then we're like, let's meet, you know? And I mean, there was a lot of connection going on. And then I swear I got out of the car because he lived near San Diego. I got out of the car and I literally looked at him and I was like, oh my God, there you are. That's what I said. I never believed in that. And he was like, here I am. And so that's a big joke that we have now that I'll say, there you are. Yeah. And it's like, it's just, I'm getting teary eyed, but just from there, I mean, interestingly, I was ending something, he was ending something. So it wasn't perfect timing, but then 3 months later, so literally it was September and we got engaged in a couple weeks and it was fast.
Who asked who?
So I asked him first, but he asked me 2 seconds later. So we asked each other. And also, I didn't know that it was okay to marry someone to date them in this country. So he obviously, his visa was expiring, whatever. And so that was another kind of added layer, right? So when we were sitting with the USCIS, they're like, you know, it's okay to marry someone to be with them. I'm like, yeah, so I married him to date him.
I married him because I want to see where this is going. He can't go back yet.
Isn't that hilarious?
So I'm gonna roll the dice.
I thought we were being so illegal, but no, it's totally fine. So now you know.
So in September, you started dating.
So we started dating in September, October, we got engaged, I think. And then 6 weeks later, small wedding, Malibu Beach.
What does he do?
So he's a medium. He studied graphic design in school. But he's a medium. He is a medium. You look at me and you probably couldn't tell what I do, but he is he wears the things and the...
Is he shaman man?
Totally shaman.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Shaman style?
Yeah. And I love it. I mean, even though he loves Lulu and Alternative and stuff and Aviator Nation, because I've turned him on to all those things, but he is very much a medium. If you look at him or when you meet him, you'll be like, oh yeah, okay, I know what you're saying. So he is a medium and a working medium. So we actually do some readings together, which is amazingly fun. Yeah, twice the price, but amazingly fun.
How does that work?
Well, what's amazing is sometimes his psychic stuff will be on point, right? Uh-huh. And then my psychic stuff won't be as on point, but my mediumship will then take
you
on to another. So we compliment each other and we literally, wait, I want to say, and I was just going to say that. It's so cool.
I'm gonna finish each other's sentences about things about you that no one could ever know.
It's kind of a joke with a couple of our friends, yeah, which is I want to. So it's really amazing.
And do you both have thriving, flourishing businesses?
Not yet, but we're working on it.
I feel like you're getting there.
We're getting there. We're both getting there. Greatness adjacent, right?
I feel that you're already great. Now, greatness adjacent is that I am the person who is always adjacent to the greatness. That's the whole point of it. That's been the story of my life. Greatness adjacent is because I am always the person next to the great one. So You're already great.
So we're working on it. In South Africa, they want to do a show with
him. Let's talk about pets, South Africa, not just pets, animals.
Sure. We were at this amazing cheetah experience in Bloemfontein, which is one of the bigger cities.
So you went to South Africa to meet his family. And then how did this come about?
So I wanted to play with meerkats because I'm a dork. I mean, who doesn't want to play? And they're like, there's this cheetah place that you can't pet them, but you can be around them. And I was like, okay, let's do this. But I only want to go to places that were doing amazing things for the world and that would re-release like animals into the back into the wild, because that's really important to me. I don't want to just give my money to anyone, you know?
I want to say that Meerkat Manor was one of my most favorite and beloved shows.
Really?
Have you ever watched it?
Mm.
The social infrastructure of meerkats is intense, and it's like better than any soap opera.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
No, stuff gets, it gets real.
And meerkats are the most amazing, cute little creatures ever. Oh my God. So we went, and I am a big fan of kind of tapping into my own self sometimes and being like, should I tell people that I'm medium? Should I not? Or is it important for me to tell them? So the owner just happened to walk around on our tour, and there were about 15 people on our tour, and I wasn't very happy about that. And like, we were seeing like, here's a tiger, but sorry, he's sleeping, or here's like two lions. And I'm like, that's not a lion, that's a rock, you know, like not so fun. And my husband was super annoyed by the whole thing. And he's like, I want you to pet with the cheetahs, you know? And I was like, don't worry, we'll do it. So I noticed that there were a couple ailments going on with some of the animals there. And I mentioned it to the owner as she came by and was like, where are you from? And I was like, you know, you have like your black leopard has something in the back. She's like, I know. She's like, how do you know that? And I was like, because I can communicate with, well, deceased loved ones, but animals. She looked at me. She's like, what? I was like, yes. She's like, you have to meet Mary. And I was like, Mary? I was like, don't tell me who it is. Just shh. So she like, the tour was like, she's like, keep going. I'm going to take these three.
These three, meaning you, your husband.
My husband and our friend, right?
Okay. And this is the woman who works
there. She's the owner. Okay. So she then walks us like to the private section where there's baby cheetahs, right? Like everywhere. And then she hands us off to this guy and he takes us into Mary's pen or enclosure, which is huge. It's not an enclosure. It's huge, huge. And Mary's just sitting there. And Mary noticed us walk in.
Mary is a cheetah.
Yeah. And we got to pet Mary, not just pet her. We got to like, she licked us. We got to like literally bond with Mary, and she wanted us to do reading on her and tell her what was wrong with Mary. I'm like, oh my God, that's amazing.
The owner wanted you.
The owner. And I was like, oh my God, we're sitting here. And when I first tapped into her, she was like, oh, you can communicate that. She's like, I haven't met really any human that can do that. And I was like, yeah. And of course, this is all going in my mind, but she looked at me and I was like, oh, and you know, like, she knows that she could kill me at any minute, you know, with her little claw. So she knows she has the upper hand in the situation, but she was so cool and calm and collected and graceful. And oh my God. So then we started talking and I started feeling into her. And because that's another thing, I can feel into people and feel where their physical ailments are. As I was doing that, she said, I've had an interesting life, but I have less days ahead of me than I do behind me. And I was like, oh, she's dying, but not like actively, but she knows that she's dying and she has cancer or some type of tumor, but they haven't been able to diagnose it because it's a lot harder, obviously, and a lot more expensive. Right. So anyway, the good news is that we were able to communicate, and then the owner came by and she's like, so what happened? And my husband and I gave her all of our notes
and
stuff.
Can your husband communicate with animals?
He can. Yeah. Yeah. He doesn't prefer to, but I mean, he'll do it. So we got out of there, and then it turned from that to, interestingly enough, January, she lost her favorite, her first cheetah that she ever had. So I reconnected her with that. And that was, I cried, she cried.
Did you tell Mary about her baby?
I told the owner about like her baby and like how and what happened and that she did everything she could. And she started crying and I was overwhelmed with love. And I was like, this is the second time in an hour that I'm tapping into a cheetah. It was just so cool.
So when you communicate with animals, I'm assuming you are not speaking English. You're not speaking words.
It's silent? Telepathic.
It's telepathic.
Yeah.
It's silent.
Yeah. But the cool part is that they recognize it and they look at you. So the elephant, when I did that, when I tapped into the elephant, he looked at me.
You did an elephant too?
Yeah.
At this same place?
No, at a different place.
In South Africa.
But he looked at me and was like, what? He's like, I've never even spoken to a human before, like in a telepathic way. And then he told the other guy, the other elephant, he's like, oh my God. And they like laughed. And I'm like, what is going on here? And then he's like, no, you just don't understand. It just doesn't happen. And he looked at me and I was like, oh my God. Like I knew he could tell that I was tapping in him. Oh my God. It was just so cool.
You were in his head.
I was in his head.
My mom always has pets. And she says that animals help you process your karma much faster and burn off some of your sanscaras that you need to burn off.
Is that why people who've generally had animals are much more affectionate and emotionally available?
Maybe. I wanted to ask if you agree with her.
Yeah, now that you're saying it, yeah.
Okay.
I would agree with that.
And then you also said that your husband can see dead people. You can't, but your husband can.
Right.
So what, he sees them.
So he would be sitting here and he would see like your grandfather on one side and your grandmother. Yeah. And it's like, I'm like, I mean, I can feel them, but he actually literally sees them.
And can you see the spirit guides too?
You know, I've never asked him. Okay. We've only been together for, no, just kidding.
I'm going to ask him. We're going to hang and I'm going to ask him. That's really cool. And then, okay, because we got to wrap up soon, but this is really exciting to me, and I want all the readings, only I only want to know good stuff. That's the problem. Okay. When you do pre or baby in the belly readings, prenatal readings, prenatal, that's the word. Do you and the baby communicate?
Yeah.
I mean, almost like an animal telepathically?
Yeah, and I think that's the best way to describe it, yeah. So but they don't tell me like their past lives. What they tell me is like, my mother eats too much chocolate, or I love it when she sits on here, or I'm resting on her right side, and I really want her to be resting on her left side. Or the father sings to me. I had once that there was a man and a woman and they were like, what do you do? And I was like, oh, I'm a medium, blah, blah. And I'm like, I can also talk to babies. And the guy was like, yeah, sure, whatever. So I told him a couple things and he was like already blown away. And then I said, who is the clown that makes noises around the baby all the time? And then he literally was like, me, raises his hand, totally ashamed. And I was like, oh.
Did the baby like it or
yeah,
not?
Yeah, no, the baby liked it. But because that's how she recognized the father, because the clown comes around. And I was like, and he's like, oh, maybe I should stop. No, I was like, no, don't stop. But just talk to her like a normal human. And I also know if the woman talks to the baby or not telepathically, because you've been pregnant. So I find that a lot of women talk telepathically, but they don't talk out loud to their babies. It depends, right?
I'm trying to think what I did. Well, I think I did do both. Yeah. I think I really did.
You know what's also interesting is so many women have lost babies and had miscarriages. It's literally like, I think 3 out of 4 of the women I talk to.
Yes.
And no one talks about that either.
No.
And women don't even like to talk about it, I've noticed.
It's become more. I feel that people are opening up more about
it. And I don't bring it up unless they bring it up. Because I'm like, oh, you have 4 children. She's like, no, I have 3. And you're like, mm. And I always make that noise. I'm like, mm. Mm. I'm like, oh.
Can you see that I've had 5 kids?
I can see that you've had more than 2. I. So I was going to say 5, but it doesn't count anymore.
Actually.
Maybe more, right?
At 7?
Yeah. That sounds more about right. Because I was going to say 5 miscarriages. Mm-hmm. And
because 1 was triplets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, but it's something that, I mean, everyone, we need to talk about everything more.
And when people go through miscarriages, and the first time usually is so, it's so painful. It's so devastating. Yeah. It's all the things. Can you ever communicate with that being?
Absolutely.
You can.
Most of the time, to go on your point of like, they choose us, most of the time they'll come back.
They will. They're like, oh, not that go around. Really?
Yeah.
So it'll be the same soul.
It'll be the same soul coming back in. Yeah.
Oh my God.
I've literally had kids tell me I wasn't ready and I want to be like a spirit family person to that. Because I've had women say, I feel them around after, of course, I say, yeah, I know you've had a miscarriage. And or I don't say that. I just say, I know you've had 4 kids and I know 3 are living. Right? And then we talk about it openly, which I love. And I'm like, yeah, they're there to just guide you. Because I feel little spirits. That's what I call them, like little spirits differently than I do. Because they're also like the wisdom of these little spirits. But they're like 4 or 5 years old.
Oh, it's amazing. They're so open, right? They're open channel, open vessels.
I mean, I've spoken to spirits who have, it's been 7 years and like they're still kind of dealing with their stuff.
Are some people not happy that they died? Like, hey, I really wish like I was still there. Or
a lot of people, I mean, I believe that it's heaven from an emotional, spiritual, and every physical perspective. So you lose all, like I would say 100% of physicality, like you lose that. So everyone who's in pain is no longer pain. I think emotional, I feel like it's 80 or 90%. This is my opinion, that you lose. But you still have to deal with that 10 to 20%. I've had spirits cry. Like I've seen them cry in my mind because of the session that we're having with their family when they're like saying, I forgive you, Dad. Or, I mean, oh my God. And like the tears, everyone's in tears, myself included. It's incredible.
This is so incredible. And I think your work is so amazing. Do you feel exhausted after you do a reading?
No, I feel very hungry.
You do?
Yeah, isn't that
You're
weird?
Hungry.
Yeah.
I love that.
And when I do 2 or 3 readings, I'm like ravenous. So I need to, but I can't eat before reading because I have my ritual that I do, you know, and like I have my water and I put on my music and I say my little thing to myself, my mediumship stuff. And then I can only drink tea and water while I do readings.
That's, and then you're like, I gotta eat.
And then, and then I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah,
so it's really fun. My husband gets tired and I'm like, no, it's amazing. I get energized because I'm grounding and I'm literally, I think, raising my vibration to connect with something incredible that none of us can understand. And I start sweating too.
Oh yeah.
Everyone sweats when all mediums sweat, but Because you're raising your vibration?
I raise my vibration and feel the feels, whatever it is, sweaty.
And I don't like to sweat. No. I'm not a sweater.
I have my natural deodorant. So I want to thank you so much for coming. I feel so honored. I could ask you a million more questions. Maybe you have to come back with your man. If you want to look up Seth, you can find him on Instagram and your handle is at I am Seth Elliott. And is it Elliott spelled E-L-I-O-T? One T.
One T, one L.
At I am Seth Elliott. And then his book is called How I Learned to Smile from the Inside. And your website is what?
Is IamSethElliott.com.
IamSethElliott.com. Seth Santoro, thank you so much. I want to know everything, but only the good stuff. So I'll have to think. But if anybody wants to book a reading of any kind, you can look on his website and see what's offered. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. If you've enjoyed today's episode, please click subscribe and leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcast. If you love what we're about and feel called to recommend us, please tell your friends. If you want to make a donation, you can find us on patreon.com/greatnessadjacent. Dreamers in Action are beacons for us all.